I want to turn back to that passage that I read to you in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and to concentrate our thoughts, as I said to the children, on the wise men, and we'll be looking at their gifts in verse 11. When they, that's the wise men, had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This morning I want us to think about worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ, worshipping this babe at Bethlehem. And as I thought about the word worship, I thought, well, what's it actually mean for us? Devoted. You're devoted to somebody, adored, loved, admired. All those things, I think, are involved in the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the most important thing is that as we worship, it must be God-centered. There is a danger that when we come to church, when we come to perhaps our various meetings, we can be consumed with our own needs. And we want worship to be man-centered. But our ultimate reason for being here this morning is that we are here to worship God. And I just want to briefly consider this passage in that light, to consider the worship of the babe at Bethlehem. And first of all, I want to look at Herod's attitude, because there is quite clearly in this passage both the positive but also the negative. And I want just to start perhaps with that negative attitude to the worship of Jesus, because Herod's attitude was totally different from that of the wise men. Because when Herod heard that these wise men had turned up in Jerusalem, had come to his palace, and that they were looking for the new king, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Now Herod was a king, yes. He's only a king in many ways in title, because the Romans were in control. They had occupied Palestine. But Herod had this title of King of the Jews, and he had a certain amount of power that the Romans allowed him to have. And he certainly didn't like the idea of another king being born, a possible rival to him. Because Herod was quite, history tells us that Herod was quite a brutal man, and normally he perhaps would have been really angry when he heard these words, but he doesn't seem to react in that normal way here, because he seems to have been very diplomatic, very calm, very controlled. But we do read, don't we, that he was troubled in verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, heard what the wise men had said, look, we've come to see this new king of the Jews, he's troubled, he's disturbed, he's worried, all right, by this news. But he keeps his calm, and he very carefully and diplomatically, as I've said, inquires, asks, well, where is this young king to be found? And so he encourages them. In fact, he helps them out, doesn't he? He calls the chief priests and the scribes together, the learned people, and says, well, you know, they've come to find this king. Can you help them out? Help them find where to look for him. And they knew that it was predicted by the prophet Micah that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And so Herod hears this, and he then says, well, okay, now you know where to go. You go and look for him, find him, and when you know exactly where he is, you come and tell me, because I want to go and worship him too. You see, Herod was a schemer. And we can see that in the passage, can't we? He said, look, you go and search diligently. Just don't look casually. You really look and search and keep on searching till you know. Why? Because he wants to deal with this as soon as he knows where that child is. And he also asks them very carefully, when did the star appear? He says in verse 7, Herod, when he had secretly called the wise man, determined for them what time the star appeared. He wanted to know what the time span was. How long ago had they seen this star, which indicated that this king of the Jews had been born? How long ago? And so he finds all this out. And of course, it wasn't really his intention to come and worship this new baby, this new king of the Jews. We know he wanted all this information so he could come and kill him. You say, how do we know that? Well, we didn't read on in the passage, but you read in verse 16, when he realizes the wise men are not coming back to him, they're not going to tell him and report back where this Jesus was. He gets very angry, and he sends out his soldiers, and he kills all the children, all the male children, under the age of 2. You see, he linked it with when the star appeared. He worked out, well, if I kill all those boys in Bethlehem, less than 2 years of age, I would have killed this king of the Jews. It was all pretense. It was all hypocrisy, wasn't it? And so I ask you this morning, why are you here? Why are you here this morning? Have you come to worship this Jesus? All right, I know you haven't come to kill anybody, but have you come to worship Jesus this morning? Or is it just part of tradition? Well, it's Christmas Day, and well, I've always gone to church on Christmas Day, so that's why I'm here. Or perhaps you're just keeping peace with the family. You're up visiting family, and they've come to church, and you think, well, I better go along with them. Don't really want to worship this Jesus. Just think, oh, it's a nice story, nice bit of sentiment, and well, that's about all it means to me. Or are you troubled? Herod was troubled, as we've said. Are you been troubled by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that this babe, perhaps he does have a claim on your life as he grew up and as he died on that cross, as he rose again, as he went back to heaven, as he's alive today, we believe, as he's here with us, does he have claims on your life? Are you disturbed? Are you troubled by the gospel? Herod, that's the negative attitude to worship. I hope, as we move now to look very quickly at the wise men, that you've come to worship Jesus as the wise men did. Notice, first of all, look at the efforts these wise men made. They studied the sky. We don't know how long for, but obviously it was one of the things that they did. It may have just been a hobby, but it may have been more of that. It may have been their life's work, studying the skies, and they'd seen this star. And then they decided that they were going to travel, follow this star. And it took a lot of effort. The fact it may have taken over a year. There was no hopping onto some plane. They were there, coming along on maybe horses, maybe donkeys, maybe walking. I know the traditional view is they were on camels, but we don't know that. We know that they must have come a long way, and it must have taken quite a long time. There was real effort put into this. And they weren't put off, were they? Can you imagine coming all that way? You come to the palace in Jerusalem and you ask where this king is born, and nobody knows. Nobody's heard of him. Nobody knows anything about him. They weren't put off, were they? They put a lot of effort into finding this baby. I wonder, are you seeking Jesus this morning? The world and everything in the world would try and prevent you from coming to Jesus. Even now at Christmas, you know, the emphasis is on the presents, it's on the food, it's on the entertainment, it's on all these things. Being with family, really good things, nice things, great things. But have you come to worship? Are you prepared to make that effort, as it were, as the wise men did? They didn't just make an effort. Look at how they worshiped Jesus. When they found a star and the star was going again and they come to Bethlehem and they go into the house, what do? They fall down. They fall down in worship, respect. They kneel before a king. I wonder if we bowed our hearts before the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we were to meet the queen, we would bow or curtsy or whatever. Wouldn't we? Out of respect for our queen. Have we bowed our hearts before the Lord Jesus Christ? But then they also not only kneeled in respect, they didn't just fall down and worship him, they offered their gifts, and we know those gifts so well, don't we? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm mindful of one of the first times I was in Richards High, and they had some sort of carol service in lower school, and the head of lower school, he did this exact same reading as I've done this morning. The only trouble is, when he came to gold, frankincense, and myrrh, he said gold, Frankenstein, and younger ones wouldn't probably understand Frankenstein, but although the place was in uproar when he said it, he was convinced he never did. But we were there. But gold, frankincense, and you know, gold is the proper gift, isn't it, to a king. And archaeologists, the archaeologists discover tombs. What they find? You know, think of Egypt. Yes, okay, most of the tombs in Egypt have been robbed in ancient times, but the tomb of Tutankhamun, quite a lesser pharaoh, not that important, and yet it was full of gold. Even in Anglo-Saxon England, Sutton Hoo, great discovery many years ago now, they found gold bracelets. And every now and again, you hear of that on the news, that some sort of gold bracelet or trinkets have been discovered, and they're offered to an important person. And usually gold is that symbol of a great person. And the wise men here were confessing the kingship of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. They were acknowledging the right of Jesus to rule. And Jeff was reminding us of that yesterday morning, wasn't he? Jesus was great. He was the ruler. He was, his kingdom was going to last forever. Jesus Christ, the King. Frankincense. Incense used in temple worship. It was an offering, wasn't it? It was to make an offering, a pleasant odor. Burnt offerings very often. You'd add incense to them, so there'd be a pleasant odor. And Paul refers to it, I think, in Philippians, where he talks about a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. The wise men, you see, were pointing to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also as the high priest, to offer himself as the sacrifice for sin. And then there was myrrh, which of course was used in embalming a dead body. And I'm sure if we were the parents, if we were Mary and Joseph, we would probably think, well, it's a bit strange, isn't it? Baby's born, we're rejoicing in a new baby born, and they brought something for his death. And that might be thought rather strange. But it was a gift of faith, wasn't it? It's a gift of faith because these wise men, they believed Christ would suffer. You know that in Isaiah 53, don't you? And his suffering servant. And myrrh was for the one who was to die and to pay the price for our sins. So these wise men, they had come to worship him. And they came and gave their gifts. And they were full of joy. I'm sure that's true. We're told that in verse 10. They were exceeding great joy when they saw the star again. So I'm sure when they actually found Jesus, they and they presented their gifts, they were full of joy. I hope this morning that your hearts are full of joy because of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. So let me finish this morning just by challenging you with some questions. I wonder, are you like the wise men this morning? Have you sought Jesus? Have you found him? And if you have found him, are you worshiping him today? And if you are a Christian, what are you offering? What gifts prepared to offer to him? You offer your time, your money, your effort, your ultimate life. And are you full of joy as these wise men were? There used to be a sticker on the back of a car that used to say, "Wise men sought Jesus." Wise men still do. I trust that's true of each one of us this morning. Well, we're going to sing a little bit about that joy now as we close. 311. "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing."